Acts chapter 4, verse 36 to verse 11 of chapter 5. These are God's words. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, Yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door. And they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who hear these things. It is our desire, and should be our desire, to be part of a church where the Holy Spirit is active and working. That's been one of the main themes about this church in the beginning of Acts, is that Jesus had promised that he would pour out the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus had poured out the Holy Spirit. And now as the Holy Spirit applies the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the elect for whom he died, we get to see what a church looks like in which the Holy Spirit is working. And one of the things that we find out about a church in which the Holy Spirit is working is that it is dangerous to sinners. We can see part of the Holy Spirit's working in this Joseph. He's a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Now, one of the things that the Levites did was that they were, in the Old Testament, the ones who gathered the collection, the tithe that was given for the poor and the widow and so forth. And they also, not only did they distribute, but they also were ones who lived off of the contributions of Israel. So they were very, their role as a Levite and the part that God gave them in his law made them anticipate this part of what would come in the church now, not under Moses, but under Christ. And what we'll see in another chapter in the diaconate and the distribution. But here at the very early stages, no one is counting any of the things that they possessed as his own, and they all had all things, and they had all things in common. Had that in verse 32 from last week. And the result was amazing, verse 34, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Now, Levites weren't supposed to own property in the land. They weren't eligible to own land in Israel. But this Joseph was a Levite who lived in Cyprus. The fact that he lived in Cyprus or was from Cyprus and not from Israel was itself a reminder that things among the people of God under Moses had gone wrong. They had sinned against God. They had brought upon themselves the covenant curse that resulted in the exile to Babylon. And even until this day, they were still spread out among the nations, as they continue to be today. So he's living in Cyprus, and he's owning land, but he's also come to believe in Jesus. And as he believes in Jesus, and as he sees how Jesus is providing for his people through this new generosity that he produces in their hearts, he has an opportunity to be, as a Christian, something that he had never gotten really to be as a Levite. And so he sells the land that he has, and he comes and he lays it at the apostles' feet. And what has happened in the heart of this Levite named Joseph is so encouraging to the apostles that they actually nickname him Barnabas, son of encouragement. And it's wonderful to be in a church where you are seeing the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in people's lives. And yet it can also be very dangerous, because there are a couple of people who see Joseph and others like him coming and giving the proceeds of the sale of their land, and the fact that he got nicknamed by the apostles son of encouragement. And Ananias and Sapphira think, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if the church would admire us like they admired this Joseph, whom they're now calling Barnabas. And perhaps they do, to some extent, have sympathy for the poor who are among them and want to provide for them. But the great mistake isn't that they didn't sell their land. We have in our memory verse, in verse 4, while it remained, was it not your own? And the great mistake wasn't that they didn't give all of the money from the sale, because and after it was sold, was it not in your own control? The great mistake was they wanted to be admired by men. They wanted the church to think that they were being just like Barnabas, and they were being just like these others, and that the Holy Spirit was working in them, just like he had worked in Barnabas. And so they pretended that this was the amount, and they had agreed on how much they would say was the amount. And they come, they sell it, and they have the money, and he brings just the part, and he lays it at the apostles' feet as if it's the whole thing. Now, one of the things that makes this so dangerous to us is, if we are in a church where the Holy Spirit is working, and we see how people are rejoicing over the Spirit's work, and we want them to admire us, we're already failing to recognize that the one who's really being admired is the Holy Spirit. But then, if we want that admiration, the only way to really get the real thing is from the Holy Spirit. You can't produce it yourself. And so there is the danger of pretending to be spiritual in ways that you are not. Pretending to be better than you are. Putting on a show for other people. And you might hear that and think, well, what's the big deal with that? Everybody does that to some extent. And who doesn't want other people to admire them? And yet, look at the language in verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And the end of verse 4, you have not lied to men, but to God. And so there's a temptation danger, desiring that people would admire us and pretending to be better than we are. But then there is the danger of who it is that is trying to get us to lie, and the greater danger of who it is that we are lying to, or whom it is to whom we are lying, and against whom we are lying. In a Holy Spirit church, in a genuine church where the Holy Spirit is at work, we are more directly interacting with God Himself. Notice that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an impersonal force. He's someone you can lie to. You can't lie to electricity. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit is not like some kind of divine electricity. He's a person. And He's a person whom you sin against if you lie to Him. And notice that there is another person, and a legion of persons, or legions of persons, who want you to lie, and that is Satan. Jesus said that Satan was the father of lying. And so when Peter hears a lie, he knows who's the father of that. So it's not a small thing, is it, when we want other people to think better of us than we are? It's something that, if you allow it to happen and you act on it, it's an indication that Satan is filling your heart. Isn't that a frightening thing to say or to think, or a frightening situation to be in? Satan filling your heart? Well, the devil who hates God and hates the image of God and hates Christ would like nothing more than to fill our hearts. And so there's a great danger in a spiritual healthy church that we will want to appear better than we are, because the Holy Spirit is a person and He is God. In verse 3, he says, they lied to the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, he says, you have not lied to men but to God. So He's not just a person, but He is God. Now, the encouragement is that the Holy Spirit is God, and He is a person, and He is at work in His church. So if we read this and we think, oh no, I catch myself thinking and sometimes even saying things at church out of a desire that people would think better of me than I am. Is Satan filling my heart? Am I going to die and go to hell? We know that we don't have to, because Jesus really has taken His seat on the throne. He really has poured out His Spirit. And His Spirit can give us faith in Jesus and repentance from our sin. He is really working in His church. He is with us. He is the one who gives us faith. And so if we're a believer, we know that the Holy Spirit is with us and that He's in us. We're going to hear in verse 32, the apostles tell the council who are have put them on trial, we are witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. There's only one way faith comes to a person. A person comes to believe in Jesus, and that's by the Holy Spirit making him believe in Jesus. There's only one way a person comes to obey God, and that is by the Holy Spirit. So we can take encouragement from the presence of the Holy Spirit and look to Him to work in us so that we will not lie, so that we will not try to appear better than we are. One last thing on that, and that is we need to be genuine and honest in our families. If it's dangerous, and it's dangerous enough that we would, each of us individually, want others to think that we are better than we really are. But notice that this was something that Ananias and Sapphira were in league together with. They had agreed together. So not only had Satan filled Ananias's heart, like Peter said in verse 3, but then when he hears her answer in verse 8, he says in verse 9, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? In our families, we should be those who worship God together, walk with God together, help one another, be honest with God and honest with others. But if we, out of pride and wanting people to think that we are good, if we get into the habit as a family of trying to look better than we are to other people and reinforce that, we can actually do the opposite of what we are called to do with one another. And we can end up hardening one another in sin and encouraging one another in sin. Ananias and Sapphira had done this to each other, hadn't they? Shouldn't one of them have said, when they were agreeing to do this, no, we can't do this. We would be lying, and we would not just be lying to people. This is a church in which God himself is present, and God himself is at work. We would be lying to him. Let's not do this, wife, or let's not do this, husband. Well, let us as a family help one another, not in a spirit of judgmental, not in a judgmental spirit of harshness, but when we see things that we're not being honest about or not walking with the Lord like we should, let's be willing to show one another the sin. Let us be willing to be shown our sin. Let us help one another so that we don't end up harming one another like Ananias and Sapphira did to one another in this passage. Finally, when there is pain that comes, and here there wasn't just pain, but there's death, let's notice that God is using it for our good. Twice you have in first in verse 5, so great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and then again in verse 11, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. These were actually the death of Ananias and the death of Sapphira were actually moments in which the Holy Spirit wasn't just disciplining or maybe punishing. We don't know if Ananias or Sapphira were converted. They weren't just moments in which he was disciplining or punishing Ananias and Sapphira. There are moments in which he was doing good to the rest of the church. He was reminding the rest of the church that when you are in the congregation, you are dealing with God. And you must deal with God, and you must deal honestly. So he actually produced greater reverence for God and a greater awareness of his own presence by the death of Ananias and the death of Sapphira. So that's another mark of a church in which the Holy Spirit is working. Even when he brings discipline, even when he brings grief, he produces increased faith and repentance out of those things. So let's ask God to help us be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit and interact genuinely with him in our home and in the congregation. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us as we read and think about this passage as I come to preach it on the Lord's Day. I pray that you'd help me finish in the sermon preparation all of these wonderful truths that were a little bit unorganized just now. But we thank you that this is from your word, even as you describe yourself and your presence to us and the danger of our sin and of Satan in taking you lightly, violating the third commandment in that way. So we pray that you would bless to us, having considered your word now in your worship. Pray that when we come to hear it preached in the Lord's Day, that you would help me to preach, and you would help us all to hear, that we would become more aware of your fellowship with us and your work in us, and that we would therefore be more guarded against sinning against you, whether it's like the sin against Ananias and Sapphira, their sin lying to the church and agreeing with one another to lie, or when we reinforce the desecration of your day, worshiping according to our desires, or breaking any other parts of your good law. Oh Lord, help us to realize that we're not just sinning against one another, but that we sin against you directly. So help us to see your love for us and to be full of love for you. Help us to rejoice that you are the one who is giving us faith in Christ and who are helping us fight against sin and fight against Satan. Help us to count it a privilege to be used by you in one another's lives as we all depend upon you together to fight against sin and to fight against Satan. Help us to worship you and trust in you and to know that you are God among us, not merely a force, not merely a mechanism by which we grow, but God who loves us and who are with us in wonderful and personal help, fellowship. Pray that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to think of you more correctly, to respond to you from the heart, to walk with you and by your help, to walk with Christ and to walk with God. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.